Now we come to the preaching of the Word of God. Let us turn to the book of James. Book of James. We read chapter 1, verse 17 to 20. James 1, 17 to 20. It's what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Last week, we began this series, which is called The Characteristic of the Genuine Faith. Characteristic of Genuine Faith. And we saw that James, the book of James, is full of tests by which we can measure our genuine our faith. If it is genuine faith or if it lacks reality. We know that today everyone says, I have faith. Everyone says, I have faith. To an extent, people say that I am a Christian. Everyone says, I'm a Christian. Those who want to be Christians, it is something that a tag to our name, a tag to our personality, I am a Christian, I am a believer. We saw that James knew that by his time, people were calling themselves to be Christians. There were Jews who were scattered in the Roman Empire, and they were going through trials, they were going through persecutions, and he wrote the epistle to encourage them, and he gave them series of tests by which they can test their faith to know that if they are truly saved, their saving this faith, if it is a saving faith or if it's just imagination. Last week we went through two of the tests. The first one was how we respond to trials. As believers, as everyone who says that they have faith, our faith is tested when we go through trials. We say so that trials are tests which come for a time in our lives. It could be sicknesses. It could be loss of loved ones. It could be chronic diseases. It could be loss of job. It could be health issues. It could be any financial thing. And we saw that these trials can also be success. God gives you success to see if you are faithful or not. If you are living as a Christian or not with that success. It can be many children. Are you going to be proud with them? It can be a promotion at work. Will you treat people who are working under you with respect as a Christian should be? It could be much money. Will you use it to advance the kingdom of God, or are you going to put it for yourself? So there are different kind of trials God sent to us to test our faith. And we saw that our response to trial is an indicator of whether our faith is real or not. The second test was how we respond to temptation. How we respond to temptations. We saw that temptations come from within ourselves. Most of temptations come from our minds. We make fantasies. We have ideas in our mind. We are being tempted time after time. And temptations, we are tempted by our own bodies. Our bodies tempt us to do different things, things which are sinful, and we respond to those temptations in different ways. We also see that temptations come also from the world around us, because we are fallen people. We are sinful people, and the people around us are sinful people as us. They tempt us. We are tempted by them. And the way we respond to temptation is an indicator of if our faith is real or false. Temptations comes in many forms. The one who stands temptations, who asks for wisdom from the Lord, shows that they are dependent on God. But the one who goes into temptation, it can be lust, it can be any kind of immorality. The one who starts living that kind of life and starts defending them, they're showing that their faith is not true faith. The faith is not a saving faith. It's just imaginations. So how we respond to trials and temptation is an indicator if our faith is true saving faith or if it's just empty words. And today's message is the third test. The third test James gives us is how we respond to the word of God. How we respond to the word of God. How we listen, how we react, and how we desire the word of God and show and how we obey the word of God reveals the nature of our faith. How we react to it, how we listen to the word of God, how we desire the word of God reveals the nature of our faith. Why is the word of God so important in life of believer? Why is it so vital that James is putting it here? It's because the word of God is the originator of the new birth. Because the word of God is the agent of our transformations, believers must have a special relationship to this word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us that, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So the word of God is the originator of our new life. All of us will witness that we heard the word of God, we were challenged, the Spirit of God gave us faith, and we started believing. So the word of God is so vital in the life of believers. In verse 18, James says that the word of God gives us not only the new life or new birth. It is not only at the beginning, but it becomes the focal point of the rest of our spiritual existence. That word which began the work in our lives, word of God by which the Spirit of God awakened us, that word of God which makes us to see that we are sinners in need of the Savior, does not stop by the time we become Christians. No, it continues with us. It continues through all our existence until we go to be with the Lord. We continue to depend on this word of God. It is the power of our new life, and it is the continuing power of our new life. By the power of God, we receive the new birth. We hear God uses his word, and we become new Christians, and it continues to be the power of our lives. You can't separate believers from the word of God, from the Bible, from the written word of God. You can't separate a true believer from the word of God. The word of God is that which feeds the new Christians, new believers, even the older believers are feeding from the word of God. This is what Peter in his epistle says, that a newborn baby desires milk for his or her growth. So is the desire of Christian to listen, learn, and respond to the word of God. We have Josias here today. From the first hour I was born, Josias knew that milk is important. He started drinking milk. Josias drinks milk, drinks milk, drinks milk. No one taught Josias how to drink milk. He knows that milk is important. Without milk, he won't survive. The same way believers were born by, were given new life by the word of God, by hearing the word of God, by meditating the word of God, by reading the word of God. So we cannot stop being dependent to the word of God. We are to love the word of God. We are to meditate on it. We are to read on it. We are to enjoy being where the word of God is being presented. Again, as you cannot separate a baby from the milk, you cannot separate a believer from the word of God. We live by the word of God. So that is the importance of the word. Why James is putting the word of God into this. And James gives us some directives by which we can measure our response to the word of God. As we say that we test our faith through trials, through temptations, James says that genuine saving faith is characterized by proper reception of the word of God. True and saving faith is characterized by reception, by proper reception of the word of God. In verse 19 to 20, this is what it says. So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of man. He talks about the word of God as we saw it in verse 18. The word of truth. This is what he is talking about. He talks that how you receive the word of God, how you were receptive of the word of God indicates if you're true and if your faith is true or if it is false. The way we receive it determines the progress in our faith. In 1 John 4 and verse 6, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, we are of God, he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and spirit of error. John makes it clear that those who listen to the word of God are of God. Those who have true saving faith listen to the word of God. And the opposite is true. Those who don't listen, as he says here, that they are not of God. He makes it clear that if you say that you are a child of God, if you say that you are born again Christian, if you say that you have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must have a relationship to the word of God. You must listen to the word of God. You must read the word of God. You must meditate in the word of God. You must be receptive of the word of God. Saying this, I must note that there are people who say that I listen to the word of God, I listen to the word of God, only if it doesn't challenge them. When it talks about God is love, yay, God loves us. When it says that God will take care of you, will bless you, will prosper you, yes. But when it says that repent of your sin, turn to God, leave your wicked ways. No. My God is not about that. My God has given us freedom. Or if you say that God will cast those who don't believe into hell. No. God can't do that. Our reception of the word of God is an indicator of if our faith is true or if it is false. If it is genuine or if it is fake. As children of God, we are to show that we love the word of God. We are to show that by this word, we are born again. By listening to the word of God, if the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God into salvation, God has chosen in this time to save people by the preaching of his own word. That's why he raises preachers throughout the world. We live in better times because you can listen to the word of God wherever you want to listen to it. It is on the internet. It is in the Bible. Everyone has the Bible. Have the means to buy the Bible today. Or they can even get the Bible for free. Some of us have many Bibles. So God has made it possible that we can listen to this word of God. So any true believer can't give an excuse that I don't have the Bible. I don't have to listen. And then how we receive the word of God is an indicator if we are truly saved people or if we are not the people who do that. And listening, James tells us that our reception should be a submissive reception of the word of God. A true believer receives the word of God with submission. Submission, that is the big word today. That's almost like taboo. If you say you submit today, you are not a good person. It has gone even further that children are not to submit to their parents. They have to do what they want to do. It has to come that employees can't even submit to their employers. It has gone that people don't want even to submit to the government. It has gone that the students don't even submit to the teacher. Wives don't submit to the husbands. You see, there is this rebellious mind in the people. People don't want the values God has given us. Submission, big word. Big word. Submission doesn't mean to be maltreated. That means that to be a slave. Submission shows that life has some positions. God has put people in different positions. The older, the younger, the employee and the employer, the leader and the one who follows. The life has been through like that throughout the world. And we are to learn to be submissive. We are to be people who are meek, who are to be taught, who are teachable, not rebels. But here, a true Christian should be submissive to the word of God. An unbeliever is the opposite of it. Anyone can tell you that I am a Christian, I am a believer, until it comes to submission. How submissive you are to the word of living God. How submissive are you to the promises of God? How submissive are you to the commands of God? The Bible says that he who loves me obeys my commandments. If we believe in the commands of God, we are to be submissive to God. We are to submit to what it says. If it says, thou shalt not lie, you shall not lie. Thou shall not steal. You shall not steal. Thou shall walk according to the word of God. And that's what it says. The unbeliever does not submit to the word of God. That's true. The unbeliever is tested, is shown, is revealed when the word of God is being presented. He does not, or she does not, submit to it. They resist it. Unbelievers resist the word of God. They stand in opposition. They oppose the word of God. Because if they were born of God, as John says, they would be submissive to the word of God. Because it's by this word that they became children of God. But if they have not experienced this change, this transformation in their hearts, the word of God is nothing to them. They oppose it, they resist it, they stand against it, and they see anyone who is submissive like they are fools. True believer receives the word of God with submission. When we read it, we submit to it. When it is read to us, it is we submit to it. When it is preached to us, we submit to it. That is the mark of true and saving faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 describes it very well. The difference between believer and unbeliever. It says that unbelievers hate. They despise the word of God. They resist it. They don't like it. Why believers love the word of God. It is true, it is certain, that if you are born of God, you will love the word of God. You have a relationship, as Josiah has a relationship to his mom's milk. We love the word of God. We know that without it, we will not survive. Without the word of God, we are just an empty shell. Because the word of God is full of promises. It's full of wisdom. It reveals about our God. It reveals about our Jesus Christ. It reveals to us about the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God. It tells us about eternity. It tells us about our human nature, that we are fallen people. We are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in need of salvation. It tells us that in our own, we cannot find anything good to please God. It tells us that we are to depend on God for salvation. We are to depend on God. And we submit to it. It gives us joy. It gives us joy knowing that I am not here doing things on my own power. I have help somewhere. I have a God who helps me. I don't stand here and forcing things for myself. I know that if I lack wisdom, I'll cry to God to give me wisdom. The word of God is so good for anyone who's a Christian. Unbelievers, because they don't like the word of God, they turn to philosophies, they turn to things of this world. This week I was talking to my colleagues at work. They were saying about murder in Finland, or what's it called, self-murder, what is it? Suicide. They were talking about suicide. They were saying that before they didn't hear about many suicides in Finland. When they were younger, they are about 55, 57 years old people. They said that they never heard much about suicide in Finland. But recent years, there is so many suicides. People take their own lives much. And why is it all about? Why is it all about? I turned to them and I told them that before Finland was dependent on God, people went to church. People prayed to God. People read the Bibles. People read the Bibles. People knew that they needed help from outside. But for some decades, Finland has turned that they're teaching you to be on your own. That we must be individualistic. The media talks to you, the forcing children, once they are 17, 18. Oh, be on your own, be on your own, be on your own. And we see the reality is that no one can live on their own. We are dependent of one another. As my colleague, I am dependent of you. You are dependent of me. But the world is telling you that you can't have anything superior, anyone you can depend on. When life becomes darker, people don't see hope, they kill themselves. If we turn back to God, if we depend to God, if we don't resist God, we will have a relationship to God. We will be submissive to the word of God. And when we know the promises of God, when we know who we are in Christ, we will be dependent on the word of God. We will have joy. Trials will come. Temptations will come. We will turn to the word of God, while unbelievers turn away from the word of God. How is your relationship to the word of God? Do you have any relationship to the word of God? Do you have a desire to read the word of God? Do you have a longing for the word of God to be heard? There's apps today you can listen to the word of God as you're driving, as you are mowing your grass, as you are painting, as you are doing things. You can have an MP3 player, or you can have an app on your phone with the word of God in whichever language. You can listen to it. You can meditate on it. What is your relationship to the word of God? Are you the person who runs away from the word of God? Are you the person who calls the word of God any names? It's old. It is old styled. Like when I came to Finland, there was one lady. She was my teacher. She was teaching me Finnish. She told me that you are a Christian, Don, but you seem to be too clever to be a Christian. I was like, I am clever because I'm a Christian, because I see things with the light and with the mirror of the Word of God. I know that whatever I do today, I study, I do all those things, one day I will die. And I have only short time here. I have to spend my time wisely. And she was like, but the Bible was only written for people. I was like, but the Bible is the most wise book in the world. You today having many questions without answers because you don't turn to the Bible. You were asking me about marriage. You were asking me about things. If you turn to the Bible has all those answers. She was like, really? I said, yeah. So, as Christians, when we discover the Bibles, as believers, when we discover the Bible, we find solution in the Word of God. The Word of God, as we read it, the Spirit of God illuminates the truth about God in our lives. A true believer receives the word of God with submission. And how are we to receive this word? The Bible tells us in verse 19 of James that we are to be quick to listen. We are to be swift to listen to the word of God. James doesn't talk about listening to anyone, any gossips or any propagandas, or any theories and frictions and stuff and any lies. He talks about us listening to the word of God. We are to be quick. We are to be swift to listen to the word of God. He wants anyone who is a believer to listen to the word of God. As believers, we have to have appetite. We have to have hunger for the word of God. Whenever we have the opportunity to listen to it, when we hear about the word of God being presented, we must have that desire to listen to it. The Bible is not a dead book, as people say. It's not a dead book. God speaks to us through the word of God. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Everything has happened, and it just repeats itself. We turn to God and read the word of God, and we have to be quick to listen to it. We have to be swift. We have to have appetite to listen to the word of God. When it is preached, we have to appreciate it. We have to read it ourselves. We don't only wait on Sunday like today when it is read. We have to cultivate a culture to be familiar with the word of God. We can discuss it. We can meditate on it. We can listen to it. We can just being willing to listen to the word of God. The second question is, are you quick to listen to the word of God? Are you willing to listen to the word of God? Are you quick to read the word of God? Or are you so resistant as the people of the world? Or are you the person, whenever the word of God is opened, the Bible is opened, you start looking at your watch. You start looking at the watch. You start yawning. You start finding for excuses. Or you switch off and start thinking of the food which is in the oven at home. Or are you, when the word of God is preached, then you are ready, you are focused to listen to what God has to tell you on that day. Show me a person who hears and reads the word of God. I will show you a true Christian. And show me a person who does not listen or read the word of God. I will show you an unbeliever, a person who is not born again of God, who has no relationship to the word of God, the person who resists the word of God. After being quick to listen to the word of God, after being swift, after being ready, prepared to listen to the word of God, the second thing James tells us is to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. He tells us that as quick as you are to listen, be just slow to speak. I know in Finland it's like, yeah, we are slow to speak. We don't speak in Finland. We are so quiet. That is good. This is, James knew that that's why the Finns, we are biblical, you know, we are Finnish people. We are biblical. We are slow to speak. But that's not what James is talking about. He's talking about this, the word of God, speaking the word of God, preaching the word of God, sharing the word of God. We have to be slow to speak. We have to be quick to listen. We have to listen to the word of God. We have to meditate on it. We have to be firm. We have to know the word of God. But we must be slow to speak. We are not to rush to present the word of God. This is for every nation, everyone who has ever lived. The talkative, the quiet person, the one who is skillful to talk, and the one who is not skillful to talk. This is for everyone. We have to listen to the word of God. We have to be quick. But when it comes to talk, to speak the word of God, to preach, we have to be slow. We are to pursue the chance to preach the word of God, to proclaim it. We are to pursue this one that we want to listen to the word of God. We have to be cautious when it comes to talk the word of God. We have to be very patient when it comes for us to be the speaker, the preacher of the word of God. The quicker unprepared we are, the easier it is for us to misrepresent God and His truth. The quicker we are, the unprepared we are, the easier it is for us to misrepresent God and His truth. Because of the severity of this matter, James gives us a warning in chapter 3, verse 1. James 3, verse 1. Because he takes this seriously, how we are to be slow to speak. He says that, my brothers, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. He tells people that, hold on, it's better that you sit and listen to the word of God. It's better that you are quick to listen to the word of God, but be cautious when you are presenting the word of God, because we who preach will have stricter judgment. So Before you stand and preach the word of God, you have to consider this. Am I prepared? Am I prepared? Have I researched? Have I read the word of God? Am I making things up? Am I practicing what I am preaching? Am I living a life according to what I'm going to preach? Is Christ reflected in my life? Do I have enough to talk? This is not about to entertain people. Somebody who is used to entertain people can stand at any time and entertain people for an hour, 2 hours. But this is the word of God. This is the oracle of God. We are to be quick to listen to it, but we have to be slow to present the word of God so that we don't misrepresent, so that we don't put our own ideas. In 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 6, 1 and 6, Timothy is talking about the novice. A novice, a new Christian, should not be given the office of an elder. Why he says this? He says that this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. In verse 6, he tells us he should not be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. He tells us that a new Christian, somebody who has not spent much time listening to the word of God, somebody who has not spent time being taught, somebody who has not spent time meditating in the word of God, he can't stand up and start preaching the word of God. He must be slow to speak. Slow to speak. It saddens my heart time after time when I see a young man. He just got saved. He's a clever, he's a talented speaker. He has this complex. Because he saved yesterday, he thinks that without him, the world will go to hell. Without him, no one will come to faith. And he starts preaching and goes about and preaching and preaching, preaching. And what happens after a few years, few months, few weeks, the guy is full of arrogance. He's so proud. No one can tell him anything. And what happens? He falls into condemnation. It's the devil. Pride. We are to be taught. We are to be people who are slow to speak to the word of God. Quick to listen. Whenever the opportunity is given us, we listen. We listen to the word of God. But when it comes to talk, we are to be careful. This is a good thing for you and I who claim to be Christians. We have to be submissive to the word of God. We have to be responsive to the word of God. We have to respond to it in a positive way. We have to receive the word of God. And we receive that word of God with submission. We submit to it. Because we know it's not the words of man, it is the word of God. As the Bible said that by the Spirit of God, the word of God was preserved and preached, written down. It is the word of God, not the word of man. We have to be submissive to it. We are to be quick to listen. We have to be slow to speak by the word of God. We can't be too many teachers. And then, the third thing he says that we are to be slow to anger. We are to be slow to anger. Do not build inside of yourself a resistance to the word of towards the word of God. Do not build inside of yourself a resistance towards the word of God. That's what unbelievers do. The non-Christian, the people who don't have faith in God, that's what they do. They resist the word of God. They build this resistance in the word of God. It's like they tell you that you should not eat too many antibiotics because you become resistant to it. Many sit there and they're just building this resistance in the system. And when you present the word of God, they get so angry. They get so angry. I think in Finland, because people are not to show the anger, are not to do this, that's why it is a taboo to discuss politics and religion in Finland. I find it so hard. I find it so hard. What do you talk about, people? What do you talk about? The only time you can talk is when it is ice hockey. But it happens once a year or something. So we're going to be quiet all the year long, and then only when it's ice hockey, then we talk about it. But we are to talk about things of God, because these are eternal stuff. Me and one of my colleagues have broken this law. I've been traveling with him for the last 2 weeks. Last time we spoke about religion. And on Thursday, when coming from Naples, we're talking politics. And he turned to me that, "Don, we are breaking Finnish law." We're talking about religion. Last time we spoke about religion. Now we're talking about politics. I'm like, yeah, when you are with Don, anything is possible. We are free in this land. We take it on the freedom side of it. We are free. But people show their anger towards the word of God. When the word of God is preached, when the word of God is quoted or presented, people show their wrath. People don't want to hear the word of God. Today the world is going around, especially in Western world. Try to say, the Bible says. Try to say, I am a Christian, I believe this. These are my values. Try to say that. I believe in Christian values. You will hear the wrath from people. People despise the word of God. People want the world not to have any standards which can be proven, which are from the word of God, which are older than all our standards, which will stand forever. Standards which every tribe, nation and tongue, by which it will be judged. People don't want that. If you say to them that you are conservative, everyone is crazy. I told my colleague this week that, oh, you say that to be conservative is bad. Let me ask you something. The world is bugging all the time now. Climate change, what's climate change? What are we supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to conserve the world how it was? How are we? Who are you when you are conserving the world? You don't want the world to change. Aren't you a conservative? You are conservative. You want the world to be as it was. But when it comes to matters of values, moral values, you think anyone who says that we must conserve moral values is a bad person. Anyone who says that there is error and there is right is a bad person. While for the last time, the last months or years, the only thing I hear on the radio about climate change, everyone in the world is conservative. But being conservative is bad. Can you see the hypocrisy of all these things? He was like, you're right, you're right. I've never thought this way. The world despises the word of God. The way the world goes to war against anyone who lifts up the word of God. And that is, that idea is also influenced even the church of God. Anyone who says man and woman is bad. Anyone who says God is God, no, you don't have any right to say that. Anyone who says right and wrong is wrong. And we see that wrath coming more and more and more and more and more. Believers, we have to be careful not to behave as unbelievers. We are not to be angry when the word of God is. When the word of God is, we see it in the church of God, people who claim to be Christians. The church of God is divided today. There are those who are called the conservatives. Not the Bible believing, no. Because everyone claims to be believing in the Bible. They say that's those who are conservative and those who are liberals. There are those who are Christian and those who are not Christian. That's how it is. A Christian follows the word of God, loves the word of God, obeys the word of God, is submissive to the word of God, is quick to listen to the word of God, is slow to speak the word of God. The Christian does not show the anger or the wrath towards the word of God. Unbeliever is not submissive to the word of God. Unbeliever doesn't listen to the word of God. Unbeliever is not slow to speak the word of God. They are the one talking. God is love. God is love. You know, Christians, God is love. It's all about love. And when you say the contrary, they show their wrath. They show the wrath. The world says truth hurts. Truth hurts. If you say the truth as things are today, you are unpopular. You want people, the world wants you to say what they want to hear. They want to hear lies. If you want to talk facts, sit with somebody going through facts. And they say that you are right. They get angry. But that's not how we should be as Christians. There is a reason why James wrote here, why we are to be slow to anger. Why we are to be slow to anger. He says that in verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Your wrath, my wrath, does not produce the righteousness of God. Does not produce the character of God. If we are hostile against the word of God, when we get angry, we will never produce the character of God. What is your attitude towards the word of God? I'm not talking about words of Don. Don is a sinner. It's you and I. Everyone is a sinner. When the word of God is read, as we've read it today, when it is presented to you, what is your attitude? If you are submissive, if you are quick to listen to it, if you are receptive to the word of God, then you are a child of God. But if you are the opposite, whatever you say, you are showing by your behavior, by your character, that you have not been transformed. There is lack of reality in your life as a Christian, as a child who will not see death. If the body will die, but your soul will be with your Lord in heaven. How we listen, how we react, how we desire the word of God, and how we obey the word of God reveals the nature of our faith. In closing, John 20, 30 to 31. It tells us why the Bible was written. John 20, 30 and 31. So anyone who questions why the Bible was written, what was written, this is the answer. It says, "And surely Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son, is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The Bible was written that we may believe, we may see that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the Christ, and we may believe in him. And believing in him, we will have eternal life. How will we know about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of the world? It's through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Your reaction, your relation, and my relation to the Word of God is the catalyst to show if we are in faith or if we are not in faith. That is the test. That is the test. Make a inventory in your own life. Go through your own life. How you relate to the Word of God. Not portions of the Word of God. The whole canon of Word of God. It's by this word. It's by this standard. You and I will be judged. It's by this standard. You and I will face God. Those who despise the Word of God will stand on their own. But those who obey the Word of God, who obey the promises of God, will have life. As the Bible says, we will have eternal life in the name of God. Shall we pray? Father, we love your word. Father, we are fascinated when we read your word, the wisdom of your word. We do thank you, Spirit of God, when you reveal the truth hidden in the word, the mysteries. Father, the plan you have for us. We are so grateful that we love your word. We pray, Father, that where we are short, you will help us. When we run around and not want to listen to the word of God, pray that you will bring us back as you have done in the past. We know that we cannot survive without your word. We know that, Lord, we cannot survive without the milk of your word. And we don't want to be people who are grown up and we don't have knowledge of you. Help us, Lord, to know your word. For those who are here, who don't know you, Father, who don't have a relationship with your word, who hate it, who despise it, Father, who call it names and don't want to do anything with it. We pray that your Spirit will open their understanding, will open their eyes, will open the eyes of their hearts. They will be able to listen, to see the truth which is in the Word of God. They will see Christ revealed in their own hearts. Father, you know our hearts. We don't know our hearts. You have told us that he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Time after time, we tend to trust our own hearts, and by the Bible's standard, we are fools. Father, you are wise, ever wise. Pray that, Lord, you will give us understanding of your word. You will give us love for your word. Lord, as the test is how we respond to the word of God, we pray that you will help us to be seen as people who love your word, who obey your word, who are submissive to your words, who are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Father, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.